On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
The beers that came here to us from Pennsylvania that we're going to try today are from New Trail Brewing Company, Ohio Pile Hazy IPA. From Tired Hands Brewing Company, Trendler Doppelbach. From Trogues Brewing and Sloop Brewing, Sloop John B. Double IPA. From Wall and Paw Pack Brewing Company, 6th Anniversary Ale, English Style Barley Wine. From Thin Man, Trial by Wombat IPA. And from Trillium Brewing Company, Willamette Valley Double IPA. From Fegley's Brew Works, Hop Explosion IPA. And from Jack's Abbey Brewing, Bella Lago Italian Style Pilsner.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey there. Welcome. Come on in, everyone. And welcome to another sud segment where we don't claim to have all the answers. Unless your only question is, how long can good old boy Mike go without offending some part of our audience?
3, 2, 1.
Here we go.
The answer, by the way, is 2 minutes and 12 seconds. That is the current record. Though, after this episode...
Is that aspirational?
Yes.
Feels aspirational.
I'm one of your hosts, Gunnel Gow Juliana, and joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I am great. Happy to be here.
Good old boy Carl.
I'm back.
Greetings. Good old boy Mike, hello.
You know, there's a postcard campaign now from Canadians to try to remove me from the airwaves in Canada.
How do we get in on that?
I know. You have to buy them in bulk, though.
No problem. We can handle it.
It's a lot of bears involved.
I'm going to lump Tennessee into that somehow.
Yeah, right. Good old boy Dave, hello.
I am better than you.
Nice.
That's aspirational.
Oh, so much so.
Especially the first part of that word.
Well, for those of you who may not know, I'm a Pennsylvania girl at heart, and I go back to visit my family.
It's weird, like that never comes up.
Never. Ever.
Right. Right. So every so often I go back home for a visit, and I recently brought back a few interesting beers for the good old boys to try. Good old boy Dave, why don't you give us today's lineup?
Sure. The Pennsylvania, well, not all Pennsylvania, the beers that came here to us from Pennsylvania that we're going to try today are from New Trail Brewing Company in Williamsport, PA, Ohio Pile Hazy IPA, from Tired Hands Brewing Company in Ardmore, PA. I know why those hands are tired. Trendler Doppelbach. From Trogues Brewing in Hershey, PA, and Sloop Brewing in Hopewell Junction, New York, Sloop John B. Double IPA. From Wall and Paw Pack Brewing Company in Hawley, PA, 6th Anniversary Ale, English Style Barley Wine. From Tin Man Brewing Company in Buffalo, New York.
Thin Man,
I don't know, maybe... Shut up, Mike.
The joke here is that the owner is actually not very thin.
Oh, is he made of tin?
It's unknown.
Okay. Trial by Wombat IPA. And from Trillium Brewing Company in Boston, Mass., Willamette Valley Double IPA.
Willamette. It's all right.
You know what? Swear to God.
Yeah. Willamette, like, damn it.
One of these days, I'm going to make it through one of these.
I know they're talking about a river that is not in Massachusetts, but
from
it's okay.
Fegley's Brew Works in Allentown, PA, Hop Explosion IPA. Did I say that okay? Yes.
No.
And from Jack's Abbey Brewing in Framingham, Bella Lago Italian style Pilsner.
We got our first big words for you.
You know what?
I was almost four syllables in a couple of those.
It's Willamette. Okay. Whatever, man.
We got our first ever cease and desist from Jack's Abbey.
Actually.
Oh, cool.
It's true. Really? They were super cool about it.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Look, aww. I spend Mondays writing those things like pest candy, you know?
Yeah.
Like 20 C&Ds on every Monday.
Yeah. You know?
How many do you get from other people, Mike?
A lot. Let's see. None lately.
Did you
ferment? We don't get them very often. It was we hadn't been open a year, and we did a collab for the guild, and it was Steve Wright with Jackalope Brewing and myself brewed like 10 gallons of beer on a homebrew pilot system.
Yeah.
And then we took it over to Craft Brewed, RIP, and gave it away for donations to the guild. So we weren't even really selling it. We were just giving it away.
Yeah.
And we decided to call it Jack Abbey.
Ooh.
And we printed posters and hung them around, and then Mustard showed up on something. Yeah. And so we got a C&D, and they called before they sent it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's nice.
Which was very nice. And John talked to him, my business partner, and he said, you know, all right, we'll let you, you know, we'll license the name to you for this specific purpose for some period of time, for the amount of a dollar, and you don't really need to send me the dollar. And so I was like, that's ridiculous. Cool. Like, I sent them the dollar.
Well, that works.
Yeah. Like, I signed the thing and I sent them the dollar. Yeah. And then when they were in town for the Craft Brewers Conference in 17, I think.
Probably. Or something 18, like that.
18.
Yeah.
I met the guys at Tailgate.
Oh, wow.
They were sitting out on the patio talking to Wes, and he brought me in and was like, introduced me. And I was like, oh, you're the guys who sent me the first C&D. And he said, oh, you're the idiot who mailed me a dollar. Because I literally just put a dollar in an envelope with a contract and mailed it to him. That's true. Yeah, funny. Yeah.
Great story.
Wow. Carl pays his debts, man.
Yeah. He's an honest boy. Okay. Well, cool. What about Kendall? Why don't you give us the suds readings?
You better say every word exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Let's see if I can do this better than Dave.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Affirmative.
Let's set the bar a little higher than that.
You know.
We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3. Ah, what a relief. 4. A body should really not make that sound. And 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
I am going to give your reading of the suds ratings a suds rating of 3.
I think if you had said Wall and Paul Pack, you know, at least 3 times, I think that would have just moved it, you know, further south.
Yeah.
Aw, it warms my heart that you guys know how to say Wall and Paul Pack.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Okay. Well, let's get to the beers. The first one that we are going to talk about is from New Trail in Williamsport, home of the Little League World Series. And dare I say, the more that I drink from New Trail, the more that I feel like they're becoming our version of like a Trillium-esque kind of brewery. No, I mean, just a lot of IPAs, a lot of good IPAs for
Pennsylvania. As I cast my gaze over my glasses, going, really?
Okay. They're underpaying all their employees?
No, but I'm just, for Pennsylvania, they just keep churning out like solid beer. That's all.
So we're on a Pennsylvania scale here, Mike.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy, you guys are...
So sweet, my friend.
Not liking how this is going.
Is that a 1? Looks like a 1, Kendall.
Yes, he's number 1.
Ken.
Okay, so the Ohio Pile is a 6.5% ABV hazy IPA. It's brewed with Pilsner malt and hefty amount of oats.
That's oats.
And dry hopped with azaca and amarillo and citro. Now, for those of you that are interested, Ohio Pile State Park is kind of what this beer is named after, and it has 20,000 acres into the gateway of the Laurel Highlands. This is Western PA, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there's a lot of rapids. Mm-hmm. There's
rail-to-trail bicycle trails.
Yeah. Falling Waters there, which is like absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I don't know if anyone really is a Frank Lloyd Wright fan anymore, but
by the way,
yes, it is a house, but it's an absolutely gorgeous house. And then like across the street and down the road a little bit is another house. Mm-hmm. With a really cool, amazing outdoor art installation. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. Like, there's like two pieces of the Berlin Wall out there, and yeah, it's really cool. Yes. Anyways,
it's a great little city.
Where are we gonna put this, Jed?
I've been there many times. It's a great place to visit if you're looking for something to do in Western PA.
If you'd like to celebrate the end of communism and Cold War.
Well, there's that. Okay, so PA. What do we think of this beer?
Well, I think if the Ohio Pile State Park has 20,000 acres and they raised oats on all of it, they probably used all of those oats in this beer.
Yeah.
This beer has an overt amount of body to it. And that was the first thing that struck me is it's very heavy on the palate. And yes, it is very oat. It is oat and more oat. It has too many oats.
But I like it. I like the flavor. It's for a hazy, it's balanced. It's not too over the top.
I don't know if
it's
I like too the hop balance a lot.
Yeah, and it actually has a reminiscence of bitterness in it. It's not just all flavor. It's not a bad little beer.
I just wish they would use about half of the oats they probably put in this, you know. Yeah.
It's super oat forward, you know. Like I don't know.
Call it an OPA?
Yeah. I think that would be
only if they're Greek.
Yeah. Get Epsilon, it. Come here.
Opa.
Sorry, we were talking about Elon Musk kids earlier before we flipped the mics on. So, yeah, that's where that joke came from. But, yeah, I wonder if they started with, you know, the base beer itself and it just got away from them. And, you know, it seems like there was a clear version of this that they came back and used the same hop profile and then brought in a lot of components, you know, to turn it into a hazy. And it was like the basic recipe kind of got lost along the way, you know? Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I
mean,
I like it though. Yeah.
I wonder what Dave thinks.
I like it. No, I don't find it too out for it. It is definitely there. It's got slickness and
needs a spoon.
It's got some body, but high in fiber, good for your heart. So, and I do think I like the way the hops travel across your palate from beginning to end.
Yeah, and I like having that little bit of bitterness at the end to like kind of cut off the softness. Well, we'll be back with a rating on this in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is a little hodgepodge of some beers that I brought back from Pennsylvania on my most recent trip.
I don't know where Chili Squay Squay is on a map. What a bunch of morons.
That's for sure.
The beer that we were talking about before the break was the Ohio Pile Hazy IPA from New Trail Brewing in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And we are going to rate this a... I guess we're going with a 3.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay.
If they packaged it with a disposable spoon, like taped right to the can, you know, I think that would...
Nice.
Are you saying I'm number one now?
You're number one, yes.
I thought Kendall was number one.
You're both number one.
She can use both hands.
Yeah.
You're number one. I'm number one, Kendall.
Mike said it's awesome. An Ohio pile of crap. Cool. Okay, yeah. So
you're both number one in my heart.
It's not a pile of crap.
Heart.
It's a pile of oats. It's completely different.
It's very oaty.
Gosh. Okay. Moving on. Let's now go to Tired Hands Brewing in Ardmore, PA. That's around the Philadelphia area for the uneducated. This is the Trendler Doppelbock, and I was kind of thrilled to see a Doppelbock in the cooler. This is 7.5% ABV. It's a tribute to their favorite strong lagers from Bavaria. This one, their first run in a monastic style, is built from a plethora of German hops and... or German malts, and hopped lightly with Hallertau Mittelfrüh. Am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. Fermented extra cool and then stored cold for 3 months. So, what do you think of a Doppelbock?
I don't know. I get molasses on it, which I like.
Yeah.
There's some of those dark sugars there for sure.
Too much. You can even smell the molasses like right up front too.
But I kind of like it.
I guess the thing, you know, when I think about a Doppelbock, I'm like, what are the differences between a Dunkel and a Doppelbock? You know, and to me, I think that the Doppelbock should be a lot more drier. The Dunkel actually should be a bit sweeter. And to me, this is moving closer to a Dunkel than a Doppelbock, because that burnt sugar thing is just kind of leaping all sweet. At you. And it's not in check, you know, specifically, you know, with the hops that they're going here. So, on top of, do one or the other. Either use less sugar or add more hops, because the balance is off on this.
I thought I was going to make it through this whole year without agreeing with Mike.
Everybody
else. Oh, so close. I was so close.
Yeah. I mean, it's very sugar forward. But I'm a malt head. Is it 100% accurate, true to style? Probably not.
Yeah.
Would I drink the whole can? Yeah, probably.
I think it's too sweet initially, but I like the way it finishes. Mm-hmm. Like there's something nice.
It doesn't,
nice
finish super it doesn't sweet. Hang around.
Right. Yeah.
I like it.
I think
but
that's
I think
what
a
saves
little
it.
More bitterness to scrub that palate at the end would make this a great beer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah, but I like it. I can enjoy it.
What about you, Juliana?
Well,
I liked this beer until Mike spoke.
No. I think Doppelbocks can get a little muddy. I like this. I like the fact that a brewery like Tired Hands is trying something like this, getting out of their wheelhouse, so to speak, because when I think of them, I think of IPAs and I think of sours. You know what I mean? So having this is nice, and especially in this like cooler weather, I can appreciate it. And yeah, I would drink the whole thing because it's still... I mean, it's 6.5. It's light to me. And I'm really digging the molasses on it. Like, really digging the molasses. So, there's that.
Okay.
So, we shall rate this one from Tired Hands a 4. Yeah. Because I was thinking that, too. Is it story time or?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do some story time.
It's a berry time. Well, you know, in all of the stories that we've had, it's a bear and a stuffed bear theme. So, you know, that's what I love
Mike
about
is now 2 for 2.
Yeah, so. Thank you. All right. So this is a story from L.A., Los Angeles.
Not Lower Alabama.
No, not Lower Alabama. Although this could be a story from Lower Alabama if there were bears in Lower Alabama. But California has seen a share of bears breaking into cars, but bears caught on camera entering luxury cars tipped off insurers that something wasn't quite right. And what has been dubbed Operation Bear Claw. All right. What are we going to do? We have a name for our initiative here. The California Insurance Department. Okay, so that's like two guys that sit around and play, you know, rock, paper, scissors all day long. you know, denied. That's all you gotta know. Yeah. Is it time for lunch yet? So.
Clearly time for a bear claw.
Yeah. There were four Los Angeles residents that were arrested Wednesday, accused of defrauding three insurance companies. Not one, not two, but three insurance companies. Oh, my gosh. Out of $142,000 by claiming a bear had caused damage to their vehicles. The group is accused of providing video footage from the San Bernardino Mountains in January of a bear moving inside a Rolls Royce and two Mercedes to the insurance companies as part of damage claims. And the department said photos provided by the insurance department show that appeared to be scratches on the seats and the doors. The company viewing video of the Rolls Royce suspended that it was not a bear inside, but someone in a bear costume. So I'm just wondering how this is going, you know, in a planning stage. All right. So, Harold, you're going to be the bear. Okay. I'm talking like a lot of scratches. I mean, like, but don't scratch that part of the Rolls Royce because we can't find that part. Get that part because we can, you know, and Harold's looking at him like, yeah, man, I'm not doing this.
Right. Like you couldn't see it in what you have, but they showed a picture of the alleged bear suit. And then, you know, those metal claws people use, like when you're chopping up barbecue, you're
pulling apart barbecue. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's called bear claws. Yeah. They were actually, that's what they thought would be a great idea.
And they ordered them on Amazon so they could keep it right there in their order history in case they needed them again, or when they get the subpoena.
Like, they'd have been better saying it was Bigfoot or something. Like, Bigfoot broke into my car.
The detectives found two additional claims with two different insurance companies for the four of the same date of loss in the same location. Boy, that is really giving up a lot of credit to the Department of Insurance. Somebody
bought up some luxury cars.
That really happened, but anyway,
parked them in San Bernardino, or
a similar claim. I guess did someone
bear reserve
hop into the search engine and type the word bear in the insurance claim engine to go, oh, look, there are four or five claims right there together. Yeah,
I want to know how many White Claws or some.
The thing about the story that doesn't make any sense is they still had to mess up these cars, right? They're still damaged. So, like, need fixing.
Were the cars already messed up?
I don't know. It's so weird.
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
it was actually a search warrant where the detective found the bear costume in the suspect's home. Well, you know, Harold, when you're done playing the bear, actually get rid of the bear costume.
Throw it in the dumpster.
You know, it's like,
it's where a bear belongs.
I'm from Bakersfield. I don't throw away nothing.
I'm needed for Halloween next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So, is this lack of planning or creativity? I'm not really quite sure exactly, you know, where to start with.
Mixture of all the above?
I don't know.
I don't understand how they, but I'm with Kendall. Like you have a Rolls Royce. So was it already kind of jacked up or something? I wonder if maybe they bought it at like one of those police auctions and it'd already been kind of sliced
up. How does this come across on career day? Harold, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to put on a bear costume and like terrible Rolls Royce.
Listen, if I had a Rolls Royce and a bear costume, I would just drive it around in the bear costume.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I dressed as a gorilla one year for Halloween.
Would you get better service in a drive-thru at In-N-Out that way? Because I don't know.
That probably would be on me fast. Hurry up, get that bear's burger.
If you order it animal style, well, you're wearing a bear costume, do you get extra fries?
You just order it me style.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd be trending on TikTok in like no time.
Yeah. So I wore a full gorilla suit into a Kroger on Halloween probably 18 years ago. And except for the head, because I didn't want him to think I was robbing the place.
Who do you retain as counsel for that?
Oh, I didn't. Well, it remains to be seen. I was checking out at the self-checkout, and I was like trying to tap the screen with my
big gorilla fingers.
Fingers. Yeah. And the people at the thing in front of me had a little kid in the buggy.
Yeah.
And the kid was facing me, but the parents are facing away, and the kid was just staring at me like there was a gorilla in the grocery store, you know?
Sure.
And so I just, like, I waved in a way where, like, I kind of wiggled my fingers like that, and the kid just goes, "Bad monkey!" And I was like, "I'm sorry, I didn't do anything. I'm just here trying to get some candy."
You know, that'd be a good beer
bad
name.
Monkey.
So
bad Monkey.
So how long is the band? 10-year, 15-year, 20-year band from Kroger?
Oh, no. I was not spoken to by any Kroger employees at all.
Oh, they actually promoted you into management?
Yes, yes. Right. I've got 8 stores under my purview.
We got executive management on all 5. All 5.
Considering some of the things I've seen in Kroger's.
You're totally executive material. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I threatened a Mickey Mouse at a Kroger one time.
We have a shift open next Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you mind?
Wait, hold on, Mike. Hold on, Mike. I need more.
Yeah. You need more what?
You threatened a Mickey Mouse?
Oh, I did. I threatened a Mickey Mouse in a Kroger one time. My daughter, when she was little, was afraid of people in costumes, of like mascots. Yeah,
she should be. That's survival instinct.
And so
she saw him dressed as a gorilla.
She did, actually. So I was trying to leave, and there was a Mickey and a Minnie by the door. And so as we were walking up, I said, "Hey, Mickey and Minnie, my daughter's not super excited to see y'all. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a step back, I could go ahead and get out and nobody has to get hurt." And the Minnie Mouse put her hands up and took 2 steps back.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
And the Mickey Mouse walked right up to my daughter and put its mouse face right in her face and like shook its head. And she started screaming.
Rude.
I said, "If you don't step back from my child right now, I'm going to beat the snot out of you and your
mini." He didn't say snot, y'all.
I did not. I'm censoring for... I'm not going to be the one who offends half your audience. We're 12 minutes in. It ain't going to be me.
They're Canadians. That can't be offense.
Bunch of hosers.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was... Yeah. And yeah, so I did threaten to physically attack him. Mickey Mouse.
Right. Yeah.
Totally deserved it.
Oh, totally.
I just want to know where you put this stuff on your resume, Carl.
Listen,
I'm, you put it at the top.
That's why he had to start his own business.
Special interest section.
You just got to get me in the interview.
How many hits on LinkedIn do you get? Yes. I beat the crap out of Mickey Mouse.
I didn't. I did threaten him. I didn't have to hit him.
Cool. You can be our vice president. Come on in, man.
See, I look really dangerous.
Okay.
Like you should own it, man. You should just at the next interview, you should just go, "Hey,
right,
let me roll this tape for you."
Yeah. Got any
mouse? The next interview. The next. Yeah.
You got any mouse problems? Just let me know.
That's right. There's a beer in all this.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Back off, Mickey.
Yeah. Back IPA. Off, Mickey. I like it. Oh, yeah. There you go. I like this.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get to a beer, folks. The next one that we're going to talk about is Sloop John T.
B.
T.
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 Sailed on the Sloop John B. My grandfather and me.
T. I know.
Oh.
They said T.
Okay.
T.
Well, my cup says B.
Oh, okay. I said B. I was singing the Beach Boys song.
So. I know. Okay.
So and I actually do know where Hopewell Junction is.
And
so.
I did pour it in the wrong cup.
Nice. Okay. This is 8% ABV. Hoist up the sails. They've charted another course for a double IPA, this time in collaboration with New York-based Sloop Brewing Company. Mm. Flaked oats combined with Pilsner and pale malts to provide the backbone and hazy golden hue of the Sloop John T.
It would be better if it was Sloop John B.
Use Citra Columbus and Lotus.
Was waiting hops. For that.
I don't know if I've ever had anything with Lotus hops before. Have I?
Not since the Rush beer episode.
Okay.
I'm sure no, they didn't use lettuce in this.
No, beer, so. I was good. I'm like
they should have.
should have done anything to make a good beer.
So I'm just in the spirit of full disclosure. I am not a hazy IPA consumer.
We know that.
So this is kind of meh for me.
I'm the only haze head left at the table.
I like a good haze, but the problem is I've never liked the double haze. I just don't think it works. It's always too sweet. The bitterness doesn't stand up to it. This has got the same problem every other double hazy has.
This one doesn't come across as too sweet to me, but it's there's something I don't.
It's like,
very berry-ish. I'm like tasting berries.
It's like the hop combination's not.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
Almost like evergreen berry, you know.
Yeah,
are intensely, you know, almost like a juniper. It's intensely, you know, bitter.
Yeah.
This is just out of balance for me.
I kind
of
have.
I don't like the beginning, the middle, or the end. It's just like It's like a three-part story that's actually not a story. And
I like
it's
this.
Just, yeah, no, it's just not working.
Dave.
Yeah, this is a little disappointing for me.
Trailer like, I Park thought, Sangria.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. wouldn't even qualify as good sangria. This is a beer I would have like half a glass and go, what's next? You know, absolutely.
I don't know if I'd get through a half.
Yeah.
Beers like this are why they make flights.
Well, it reminds me of just, I mean, how many times have we talked about collaboration beers are just,
they almost
two,
never
two
work.
Heads are not they, working they well, you know, yeah. it always winds up being, you know, that was a really cool trip to where, you know, wherever, but you know, we didn't make a good beer in the process, you know.
At Black Abbey, we have three rules of collabs. Show up late, get drunk, leave early.
There you go.
Yeah. And I think,
can I add make great beer onto the menu?
Well,
I
mean, if we are the guest and when we show up someplace, like the recipe's already been decided on and whoever's hosting it is in charge of making it, right? We're just there for window dressing and social media posts. And the same is true as if we're hosting a collab, the other brewery, I expect them to show up late, get drunk and leave early. Honestly, that's my job. You know, our brewer makes the beer and I entertain the other brewery and then I take them to Rosie's to drink Malort.
Yes. Nice. You can go to Dicey's now too.
Oh, Dicey's. I like Dicey's maybe what a little a too much.
But yeah. I will say, you know, like
Sloop. Like he has a hot honey tattoo.
No. Not
yet. Oh, and the barrel aged Malort.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no Ligusta. I didn't like that at all.
I didn't either. I thought it was like Malort with vanilla, which is not a good thing.
It was vanilla.
I didn't think Malort could get worse, and then it did.
That's something.
It was. What, we had like three kinds, right?
It was just the regular in the barrel.
You sure?
And then you had a cocktail, I think,
or two or 20. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're going to... God, this is sad because I really love Troegs. But the Troegs Sloop collaboration, otherwise known as Sloop John B, we are going to rate a
T.
2.
C. D?
T. Yeah, C. Sorry. I'm reading off of.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not indicting the breweries
I
involved
think
in the collab.
They both
the
make beer really just good was beers. Not good.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's just. I had high hopes because I love
Carl's
Troegs.
Menu.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe.
I think they all showed up late.
Got drunk. Maybe they did.
Listen,
maybe
they I hope did. They had a great time.
Just you never, know, like, ever make this beer again.
I don't.
Well, Sloop came down to Hershey and, you know, maybe.
Did they come down the Hershey Highway?
I knew that was coming somehow, some way.
Okay, moving on. Let's go to Holly. Where Lake Wallenpaupack is and Wallenpaupack Brewery. This is their 6th anniversary ale. It's an English style barley wine and it is coming in at 10% ABV.
Ooh,
something
I like this.
Completely different.
We haven't had a barley wine in a while. I'm digging it.
And it's an English style barley wine as well. You know, so I'm thinking this is like a Samuel Smith's. It really should go down that of having a lot of noble hops.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be back with more in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath. Stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead. Back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. Today is a little hodgepodge of different style beers from different breweries around the Northeast. from the last time that I went home visiting my family. And right before the break, we started to talk about the 6th anniversary ale from Wall and Pulpeck Brewery. And this is an English-style barley wine at 10%, but she does not taste like 10%.
Oh, I get
it. She just tastes beautiful.
I thought that Carl nailed it, saying this is like a hearty. Yeah. That is totally, you know, that's the greatest compliment I could think of. Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Yep.
Very good beer.
Rich, intense, smooth.
And I will say, and Kendall, you probably heard me say this before, like this has got a little of the quote, tastes like homebrew, unquote, thing. And I can't define what that means.
What the heck does that mean?
I can't define it. But I don't know whether it's that it's unfiltered or that maybe it's not fully attenuated, which...
Yeah, I don't think it is fully attenuated. There's definitely some sugar hanging out in this.
Yeah, thing. Right. So but, for an English barley wine, like that's very much...
That's good.
Yeah, style. I mean, yeah. I think that is true to style. And, you know, I think when most people are thinking barley wines, I'm thinking, how far do I need to set this, you know, to let it chill out? Because, you know, you've got these big booming, you know, barley, American style barley wines. 120 minute IPA is like the cornerstone of, or Bigfoot, you know, and, you know, these things need to just chill out for like 2 to 3 years. This is good to go now. I really love this. Mm-hmm. I would have this all day long. This is, I think it's really good to style, maybe a tad sweet, you know, as Kendall was saying, but honestly, I think the thing I would say at the end of the first pint was, I'll have another.
I don't think you would want to sit this back.
No.
It's actually a year old.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was canned in September 23.
Yeah. They just had their 7th anniversary.
Interesting.
Actually, yeah.
And it's held up.
I think for when I say tastes like homebrew, I bet that's really what I mean, is that it's carrying residual sugar. A lot of times it's difficult for a homebrewer to get beer to be completely... fully attenuated.
Right. And they're sitting around watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they're not. Maybe they're off working their day job. But yeah. I think that this beer, that works in its favor, right? For an English style barley wine, it should be back end sweet like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is really good. I like it.
Yep.
Yay.
Ooh. Great beer. Fantastic.
The love for Wall and Pop Pack continues, and it's a Suds 5.
Really great beer.
Now, the next one I got. Purely based on the can.
Trial by Wombat.
She shops by can art. It's a weird.
I mean, we've all done it. We've all done it.
This one I did. No. I mean, how could you not? So what we're talking about next is Thin Man Brewing Company from Buffalo, New York, their Wombat Galaxy IPA.
Brewed by a not so thin man.
Yeah. Really great guys. The Thin Man folks are just genuinely very, very lovely people.
Yeah. They got a really nice place in downtown Buffalo.
I'm digging this beer, man.
I've been there a few times. It's nice. I mean, it's like I think they kind of helped revitalize a section of Buffalo there.
Yeah. Like I bought this beer at Wegmans a number of times. Man, it's just
Wegmans.
It's there. Right. If Thin Man, this would be their flagship IPA, I would guess, because I see it out, if I'm up there, I see it out a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There seems to be something missing. I can't quite put my finger on it. It's like in the finish. There's like something missing there. It's a good beer. Like, don't get me wrong.
It's a good beer. I agree with you, Mike. It's not great. There's nothing.
There's like some body missing.
Yeah. There's no real personality to it that goes, this is different from every other hazy I've had. It's like, no, it's pretty much the same.
Mm. Is it?
There's a slight citrus overtone, but it's the bitterness off this. It's just, I don't know. There's something there that's missing.
See, and I'm not getting that at all. I'm getting like pineapple, like vanilla pineapple creaminess.
Mm.
A little bit of lemon meringue.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. I don't know.
But I'm not mad about it because, right. I mean, like the flavor profile is, thank God, a little different than the normal.
I think, like, if you're like Carl's not a hazy guy, but so you have to lean in to what this is first off to say, you know, like whether you're going to like it or not.
Right.
And, you know, if it's not your style, it's like me drinking a Saison. I can tell you if a Saison. if I think it's well made, I may not like it as much as other people who really lean into that style.
Sure.
But like, I enjoy this. I would drink the whole can.
I mean, yeah. I would drink a pint of this. I just don't know if I would ever have more than one.
Yeah.
I might not do two. You know, because
I'd be one and done.
I don't think that style lends itself to like, I'm just going to pound these all day.
Yeah. I think this beer for me, I think if you're, you know, you always want a guy in your golf scramble that it may not be the longest drive, but it's always right in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. That's what this is for
this,
sure.
This is really, I don't know. I think it's just,
yeah, it's a good solid stripe right down there, yeah, right in the middle. That's with you, Carl. Yeah.
Okay. So the Wombat, the Trial by Wombat Galaxy IPA from Thin Man Brewery in Buffalo, we are going to rate a 3.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of those beers that, you know, you would like flip open a cooler at a beer share and go, yeah, I don't want that one of that. That's solid. I'll have that all day long. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so the next one that we are going to talk about is, I know this one's going to be tough for you guys to drink, but this is the Willamette Valley Double IPA.
Willamette.
Okay, now I sound like I should be in Boston.
This seems to be the haziest of all of them, just from a visual inspection.
It is Trillium.
It's, for all of you listening at home that can see, it's very hazy.
It's opaque.
Yeah, it's very opaque.
But I kind of like it.
So this one is 8% ABV.
So what's the Willamette connection here? I would think that's been dropped in a wine barrel of some kind. And I love their Chardonnay barrel, you know, finished beers.
Or topped with exclusively hops from the Willamette Valley.
On the can, there's some
form. So it's a hop profile from Willamette?
Mike, what does that say right there?
It says Coleman.
Well, farm it says hops. Garage Project, Arrow Street, so this Wellington.
Is Coleman, so it's a Willamette hop.
Coleman Farm Kendall's hops.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've contracted a special batch of hops that they've put in.
Because it's dank.
Because if I hear Willamette Valley hops, I'm thinking the old sea hops.
Yeah,
that was my first thought. And yeah, you do get some of that dankness out of this.
This is super funky, super sweet.
Well, and Willamette is kind of more of a noble hop style, right? Like I was
with actual Willamette hop. Yeah, it was derived, I think, from Fuggle.
Maybe.
Let's see. Willamette Valley is a new collab with Garage Project from Wellington, New Zealand. In the tradition of previous collaborations like Sunrise Valley, and it's a Valley series that Trillium does. It's brewed to showcase select hops that reflect the unique terroir of the growing region. This new release showcases a blend of Strata, Audacia, and Luminosa hops.
Ooh, wow.
From the alluvial hop farm in Independence, Oregon. So it's kind of passion fruity, pomegranate, and peach mango lemonade.
It's like an ambrosia salad that has been left out in the sun for 4 days. Oh, my God.
Tell me how you really feel.
Somebody left in the back of their car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm sorry, but it tastes like a muddled mess that's just not really working, you know, at the end of the day.
Sometimes multi-hop beers, it just feels like, why didn't you stop at one or two hops and just let it do its thing?
If you did this on a pilot system, I would have said, don't ever scale this up. I would have said, stop right there.
The more I drink,
you're so harsh.
Yeah, I don't think I could do much of this.
But of course.
You can almost sense the alcohol in this.
It's a small pour beer.
Yeah.
That I will say, yeah, it's heavy. But like, I get a really nice peach out of it. I mean, I don't know if that's what the whole intent from these hops were.
Yeah, it's got that peach ring kind of candy peach.
But yeah.
Again, I'm not much of a hazy consumer. Recipe.
Yeah. There's no way anybody would make a second batch of this.
Well, and honestly, I think this is certainly something that would be poured in a 10-ounce glass, right? Like, this isn't something you're going to be drinking a pint of.
Oh, gosh, no.
Maybe even 8.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Maybe even 8. So, I don't know. I'm in the crushable beer business, and I like not just calling back to Wombat, but like I could crush Wombat. That one would be difficult to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
That's fair. Okay, so we are going to rate the
Willamette
Valley Double IPA from Trillium A3.
Wow, how many Trillium beers have we
been through? Can hear the people in Oregon laughing at us all day.
Willamette.
Yeah. Okay, so let's now move to back to Pennsylvania.
A good beer.
Oh my God.
Ooh, eat that, Trillium. Man.
Yeah, right?
Love Trillium. Mike's like never going to be allowed beer. Back into
a just Trillium. Just like dishing out the insults like it's a
dishing out.
Just like piling grits on my plate.
You know what? You know who's coming?
Carl and I have never been paired up at a beer competition.
I don't
Kendall
think,
and I have.
I think there's a reason for that. I don't. That's right.
He would just, like, he
is
would just
destroy
go,
it.
Is there Everything a way where nobody wins this category?
Absolutely.
Like, can we do that?
No, all can be winners. I'm sorry, you know?
I just, wow. When Kendall and I judged that homebrew competition, that was one of the things I said. I was like, I mean, is there a way that no one wins?
Yeah.
And we just get to make the prize beer?
Is a table water? The winner, because it should be.
Wow. Okay. Next thing that we're going to talk about is from Fegley's Brew Works in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Explosion.
Yes, it's called the Hop Explosion IPA. This one is 7% ABV. It's a West Coast style IPA with Citra and Chinook.
This is borderline barley wine.
I just want to let y'all know that I'm breaking one of the Black Abbey rules of engagement by drinking this. We have a rule that we're not allowed.
OSD?
No, we're not allowed to drink anything called or eat anything called explosion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fair.
Wow.
Wow.
What part of the HR manual is that in?
Well, when you write it, you can put it in whatever part you want. Yeah, no, I had something at Chili's one time called a fajita explosion that elicited that rule.
Did not end well.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. So I just want to let the listening audience know that we're breaking
cleanup fermenter 14,
like one of the Black Abbey rules. Don't eat anything called explosion.
They had to shut down the men's room for a week and a half after that.
Okay.
All right. So what's the package date on this?
Yeah.
I'm not getting a lot of hops for something called hop explosion. I'm a little perplexed.
Yeah. I'm starting to get that like back end caramel.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of caramel malt and died in the can.
It just says batch 184 or 738.
It died like about 5 months ago.
Huh.
I mean, I can.
I can trade up.
I can
for
believe, like no, I can believe that there was something there
at some point in
but
time.
I think it's got some age on it.
Negative. It feels very faded out.
Yeah,
because I would expect way more bitterness for a West Coast IPA, and this just doesn't have it. It's a caramel bomb.
It's a pedestrian at best.
Yeah, so it has the remnants of what might have been a nice Westie.
It's got a good EBF though.
I think I'm going to give it that those fingers there. So
those special fingers.
What's
special
EBF, fingers? Carl?
EBF stands for excellent burp flavor. I try to rate beers based on the EBF scale.
That's fair.
And, that sounds like a Dave thing.
Yeah. So just now, I tried
Where
some
were
of that.
You, man?
I got that like nice Cascade hop burp. Okay. So I could, like I say, I could feel that it's there. It's
it works.
Right?
It
really does. The EBF scale is real.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I love about this show. It's the only place where you could belch in.
There's
the,
a lot
into
of learning.
This, into the, in everybody goes, oh, yeah, they're there. Yeah. They're really actually drinking. Yes, we really are drinking.
Yeah.
I like this.
Right. It's better than the fart scale.
Yeah. Well, that could happen.
That's on the Chili show.
Yeah. Or the sour show.
Yeah. That collab came around again. So.
Oh, boy. Okay. So. The Fegley's hop explosion, sadly, it's not that much of a hop explosion, and we are going to rate it a 2.
Send us a fresh batch, Fegley's, and we
export
will revisit.
That to Canada promptly.
Now, for something completely different, let's go to a Italian Pilsner from Jack's Abbey. Sorry, Jack's Abbey called Bella.
What's the last Italian Pilsner you had? I know which one I had.
Yeah, I know, same one.
I know exactly which one he
same
had.
Same one. I just had one a couple days ago. I had one left.
So Sounder makes this really good Italian Pilsner that Kendall and I've had.
Saunders, you know, or Sounder?
Saunder.
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 Good job, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. What did I say, Sounder? I'm sorry.
I hardly even know her.
Yeah.
Whoa, I like, you know what?
I'm sorry. Just sorry. It was just like right there.
Okay. So the Italian translation of this name is Beautiful Lake, which captures the inspiration for this Italian style Pilsner. Dry hopped with a blend of noble and American hops. It is bright, hoppy, and assertive with a dry finish, 4.7% ABV.
Too sweet.
Yeah, I like it, but it's not as good as others I've had, but it's still an enjoyable beer. I would crush a few of these.
You going to send them a C&D on this
too
one?
Too sweet.
I didn't get the like bright hoppy piece, but I mean it's a very easy drinkable beer.
If you just called it a Pilsner, I think it would be a lot better.
It's crushable lager. Okay.
We are gonna rate this a 3, Bello Lago.
Interesting flight there, JB. Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah. So there were a couple of winners in there, you know? All the English barley wine all day long.
No, very happy.
Yeah. That's strange. How often do we say that?
Right? Okay. Well,
I didn't really hate any of them, but I do think the West Coast IPA was.
I did not hate your beers, but I did not like them.
Exactly. Well, you know what? When you have 5 minutes, you can't pick a lot. Well, that's going to do it for today. Good old boy Kendall, thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy Carl, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
And what is your day job again?
I work for Black Abbey Brewing Company in Nashville, and you can follow us at blackabbeybrewing.com.
He's head janitor.
Yeah, wash the kegs.
You can also follow Black Abbey Parking Lot.
That's also true. Or you can follow me in my side gig, DJ Dad's Been Drinking.
On
Instagram.
It's great. Part of it. I can vouch.
Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, come back. Enjoy another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Dave.
I like this.
Yeah, me too, Mike. Thanks. All right.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.